Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. Good to have you with us. Monday, December 31st, 2012. And it's, what is it? Why didn't I go get one of those sound makers? Happy New Year's, everybody. Happy New Year's Eve, anyway. The show is today talking about the future of technology, what we can expect in 2003. And we have a Tony Garitano group that he's assembled, his executive directors. And what an exciting broadcast we have to talk about the future of technology and what we can look forward to in 2013. Great show lineup. You're going to want to stay tuned all the way through to the broadcast, the end of it. I want to say thank you for being a part of the listening audience. Again, our listening audience continues to grow. Over 137,000 downloads of our broadcast from mortgage professionals, averaging between 25 and 30,000 downloads and listens every week, every month. It's just amazing how the broadcast continues to grow. We appreciate so much you passing this on. Folks, we don't advertise. How did that get happen? It's because people like you told others about it. Appreciate it. Email us. You know, you can go to our website, Lickin' on Lending, download the broadcast. You can hook up and have it be a reminder sent to you. So it's there. We've got regular listeners. We got people that tune in every once in a while. But everyone tunes in and says, man, really appreciate you doing this. This is a public service of our company, Mortgage Banking Solutions, to the industry as a give back. This industry has been so good to us, and we are grateful to be able to have the honor and privilege to do this. A lot of people say, Dave, why did you do this? You've heard me. So those of you regular listeners, hear this one more time. We've got a lot of new listeners today. So I want to just say that the reason I did that is because at the end of the day, I got tired of reading, and I just want to listen to something. And so my eyes get tired and suffer mild dyslexia, so I'm kind of going, it's time to go listen. And I couldn't find anything. So what's the definition of an entrepreneur? If they see an opportunity, no one's doing it, they jump in and do it. So I'm an entrepreneur at heart, saw an opportunity, and I go, no one will tune in and listen. But so let's just do this. It helps me to kind of stay up on the broadcast, talk my good friend Joe Farr to come on here, and Alice Alvey, and then eventually Andy Schell came around and joined in. And it was, I tell you, just look at this. 137,000 mortgage professionals make this a way of getting their downloads. It's fascinating. It's an honor to have you be part of it. It wouldn't be possible unless we had to say, if it weren't for our sponsors, Mercury Network, Alamode, and United Guarantee. We just want to say thank you to them. Again, United Guarantee's amazing turnaround story was told in the Mortgage Banking Magazine in December, and we encourage you to go out and take a look at that article. We big thank you to United Guarantee. A happy new year to them, a prosperous new year. Based on that story we did in that broadcast a few weeks ago, it was quite exciting to hear the story of what they did to have that massive turnaround in their company. Great story, great leadership story. Also, in Mercury Network, Alamode published an article in October in the Mortgage Banking Magazine talking about appraisal compliance has to do with the strategies of how you can save and avoid up to $10,000 per day per violation. You can go pick up that article by going to www.mercuryvmp.com/DFA, stands for Dodd-Frank Act, DFA, and you'll pick up the article there. Look at that. We appreciate both United Guarantee and Alamode. Thank them for their sponsorship and wish them a very happy new year and a prosperous new year. Joe Farr, you took time out of your busy holidays to join us. I appreciate it so much. And you bring us the market update. So many people tell us, you go to conferences, you get the same thing, people running up to you. Yeah. Joe Farr, I listen to you all the time on the radio. It's so nice to have you here.
I've heard that voice before.
I had that happen at the restaurant. I was speaking at the Michigan Mortgage Lenders Association, and I'm in the restaurant holding a meeting at a round table, and someone walks in and listens and goes, Dave Lickin, wherever you are, keep speaking. I hear your voice. I've never met you. I want to meet you. I just arrived in broadcast. So that's what happens, Joe. You get on here, you follow me around, you're going to have people walking up to you at restaurants go, I recognize that voice. Where are you? So anyway, good to have you be here with us.
Well, thanks.
What's going on? It's been kind of, prices are down a little bit, kind of quiet, but what's happening today?
It's been a little volatile this morning, all about whether or not we're going to get a deal done on the fiscal cliff or not. And, you know, whatever deal gets done, it's going to be a small deal, so it's not as big an event as would have been if we were working on the full deal that was discussed in the weeks past. But, you know, last week was well, let's talk a little bit about what's expected. I just saw the president scheduled to come on for a press release at or an announcement at 1:30. Don't know if it's an announcement of a deal or not, but he's going to give his side of what's going on right now. But, you know, it caused the stock market to get a little better. Bonds didn't do much. MBS prices are still down about where they were before, which is down 3/32 right now. But what's expected is a deal today. Probably be late after the hours. A small deal, though. It's mostly going to be on the avoiding the tax increases that go along with the expiration of the Bush era tax credit. So look for a small deal. Taxes going up, probably on incomes above $400,000. Top tax rate will probably be the full 39.6%. With you know, of course, gains, capital gains, and dividends are going to go up. Not much on spending, though, Dave.
Isn't that amazing?
What is on spending is going to be to increase it. You know, we'll extend the unemployment tax benefits and some work on the sequestration requirements. Maybe doing something to achieve the results, but over a limited time period. So, anyway, it'll be interesting. Something will come out this evening, I expect, certainly after our markets close, which is going to happen at 2 o'clock Eastern, and probably after the stock market closes as well.
Well, we could expect some volatility right after President Obama speaks then, I guess, is what we could expect.
If he announces a deal that's more than just a little, a small deal, then it could cause some market volatility.
Yeah, not likely, but we should definitely stay tuned. So that's a perfect place to jump in and put a little plug in for you, Joe, because if they had your service, what would they get? A quick message instantly, what's happening. Folks, you can't live without that. But we can run that ad in just a minute. And last week, we'll talk about it. Sorry.
Well,
I love selling your service. It's such a good service. So anyway, go on.
It was more of the same last week. It was, you know, it's all based on what was happening in Congress. We saw that during the week, any hope of getting a big deal done was diminished, and as a result, the stock market fell. MBS prices rose about a quarter of a point in price. Dow was down 250 points, and you know, in the middle of all last week and all the headlines about what was or was not happening in Congress, we got some really good housing data. New home sales came out better than the prior month, and certainly one of the best months since 2010, April 2010, when the home buyer tax credit expired. Pending home sales were up as well, so you know, both of those are showing good signs. Existing home sales a week before was good, and so yeah, we really head into 2013 with a nice improving housing market.
NAR will be having a good Christmas or New Year's celebration tonight on that data, so I'm sure.
No question.
No bad. So what do we got in store for us this week, short week as it is?
Well, as it is, you know, closing early today, close tomorrow. Wednesday, the ISM index comes out. Friday, the jobs report comes out. Also on Wednesday, the FOMC minutes come out from the December meeting. So, of course, the jobs report will be a big deal. Hopefully by then, the headlines and the daily discussions and the obsession with the fiscal cliff will at least have been pushed off for several weeks, and we can really get back to focusing on economic data.
Yeah, hopefully. But the tendency to kick the can down the road keeps things where people need your service. So, Joe, thank you so much for taking time.
You're welcome.
Out of your busy holiday to join us on the radio. Our folks love hearing your voice, so appreciate you being with us.
Have a happy holiday. Have a great new year.
You too, Joe Farr. Appreciate you so much. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief word.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
MBSQuoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin'.
Good to have you with us. Appreciate this, you joining in on this holiday. Most of you are listening on a streamed or downloaded basis. We appreciate it, you making this a part of your method of getting data. I talked to Alice Alvey a little bit ago and on the phone. She is working with us on a project, intense project, that's got us all heads down and focused. And so she's staying on that. She did. She said, I wish everyone a very happy new year. We appreciate Alice and her team and all the efforts that they do there at MortgageU and Wetzeltrot to bring us the latest, most updated information of what's happening on the legislative side. Alice and her team, I don't know if everyone understands how much work goes into monitoring all that and doing this broadcast. I mean, it seems like, just an hour? How much time does it take to do an hour? I can tell you, for every 10 minutes, at a minimum, every 10 minutes, an hour goes into it by each one of us. So a lot goes into it. We appreciate you being a part of that. But Alice, we miss you. Have a happy new year. And thank you for staying focused on that project. It's a big one. We've got Bill Coppedge, who is a regular part of the broadcast now. And we're so thrilled to have it. He has a very, very well-read blog. When you got guys like David Stevens, the head of the mortgage industry, mortgage banking industry, saying that he reads it every morning, that tells you that's pretty good, pretty good endorsement. Bill, it's good to have you on the broadcast and bringing it to us live today. After having you as a guest over a new Christmas Eve, just much rather have you live. So good to have you with us, Bill.
Well, Dave, it's great to be here. So I have four things I would like to share with everyone this week that I thought that were kind of important.
Good.
Okay, here goes. Number four, the primary-secondary mortgage spread. I have an anonymous poster on my blog that pointed this out. The Federal Reserve has been unhappy that mortgage bankers are making too much money by selling mortgage-backed securities at prices way over par. So guess who's buying $40 billion a month of mortgage-backed securities at prices way over par? The Fed.
The Fed's exactly right.
So
a little hypocrisy
there. Yeah, they're complaining about high prices, yet they're paying high prices, which keeps the prices high, and that doesn't make much sense. Okay, number three.
Number three.
Will the CFPB kill warehouse lending?
Yeah, CFPB, one got my attention.
Yeah, well, they're proposing that lenders be held liable for the actions of their vendors and customers.
Oh, boy.
And a warehouse lender can be dealing with hundreds of mortgage brokers, correspondents, servicers. And so does this mean that they have to monitor these hundreds of counterparties of counterparties? And if that's the case, we could see a lot of warehouse lenders exit the business because it's not worth the risk. So
that
number two.
That's a circle highlight. Everyone should be on this one. We don't have Alice to give us a legislative update perspective on that. Is that something that is under consideration, Bill, or has that actually been passed? Clarity on that. I want to make sure.
Well, the CFPB has not talked about warehouse lenders in particular, but
right.
They're just saying that lenders have to be held liable for the actions of their vendors and customers.
So this is not something that's a bill or anything like that. This is CFPB could just decide this and it'd be a reality overnight.
Well, it affects everyone, though. Everyone that deals with anyone else, if you use a vendor,
right?
You know, and they do something bad, you can be held liable for it.
Wow. So all the vendors that we're going to have on later on the broadcast, all subject to the same thing. Wow. It's not just warehouse lender, any vendor, but the biggest impact could be the warehouse lenders. And because of the huge balance sheets they have, they have an inordinate amount of exposure on that because of the balance sheet and the plaintiff bar wanting to go after that balance sheet.
Well, you know, if you remember, after the market melted down, all the warehouse lenders went out of business, and everyone was dying to be able to get lines at places, and now people are finally beginning to come back in. It'd be a shame to see this chase them all away again.
Yeah, talk about a way to kill the mortgage industry overnight in a hurry. That would just it. For those that don't understand it, independent mortgage bankers, it is the lifeblood of the mortgage industry, and we have legislators and staff that listen to this broadcast. Don't let this happen. Get a hold of the CFPB. Communicate in on this. But anyway, good. Thanks for pointing that out. Okay. I stopped you because that one got my heart stopped.
Well, that's okay.
Keep going.
All right. Number two is almost as much fun. It's repurchase demands by the FHA. Okay. So as we all know, repurchase demands have been a nightmare for mortgage bankers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they've suffered huge losses over repurchases with those two.
Right.
So far, FHA has been quiet about this, but it seems like they might be waking up. And as they do, the newest headache for mortgage bankers will be FHA repurchase demands.
Wow. Coming directly from FHFA? Or FHA?
Yes. And then finally, and this is something that's just a personal thing that I follow, but I want to share with you the single most important thing that I personally learned in all of 2012, and it's called financial repression. Financial repression. Financial repression is being practiced by governments all over the world, including the United States. It's a huge threat to your net worth, your life savings. And it is also the reason why mortgage rates are so low. In fact, zero interest rate policy is an offshoot of financial repression. And financial repression is, in effect, an invisible tax that is sucking $500 billion a year of purchasing power and savings out of the economy to the government's benefit. People don't even know this is happening to them.
Wow.
I mean, can you imagine the hue and cry that if they tried to pass a law, or tried to raise taxes in front of people's faces, $500-600 billion a year, people would go crazy. This is happening right now, and people aren't even aware of it. So I have a special post that I made about the financial repression. You need to read it. It has six articles that fully explain how this works. You need to know this. This is why rates are low. You need to know this because it affects your personal net worth.
Wow.
So if you want to get everything that we've talked about today, I have a special link for you. You want to go to mortgagenewsclips.com/week5.
Week 5.
Yeah, mortgagenewsclips.com.
Is it a number 5? Is it a number 5?
Yeah, the week number 5. Yes, week and then the number 5. So mortgagenewsclips.com, week 5.
That is excellent. For those of you that are not aware of what Bill does each week or every morning, he gets up at dark 100 earlier than I, 4:30 in the morning, starts. First he does, he rolls out of bed, rolls right to his computer and starts searching the news. We'll have to work on that insomnia or that most of us are just we're well into our sleep at that point. Some of us get into bed at that time, I know. But you're up researching the news, and you post it on Mortgage News Clips, and it's a digest. So it's the one place you can go and get a summary, a digest of all the news items, and then you have links and click-throughs. Right, Bill?
Sure. Half the people on my list are senior vice president or higher, so I feel good about that, too. I have a lot of influential people that read it.
Well, it's an honor to have you be a part of the broadcast, Bill, each and every week. Thank you so much for coming on live with us today, sharing with that. And by the way, someone just texted me and said, did you say FHFA is doing it? I said, no, it's repurchase demands by FHA. Make sure we're clear on that. They're joining Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, so that's a big one. The warehouse.
Well, I mean, it looks like they're going to. They've been hugely quiet about this to this point.
Yeah, well, it's another thing we're supposed to have a happy new year, and there's definitely reason for us to be somber about certain aspects of this. But thank you so much. Informed, forewarned is forearmed. Thank you so much for arming us, my friend, with all the good news, or all the news, and being a part of the broadcast each and every week.
Thanks. Happy New Year to all.
Happy New Year to you, Bill. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success,
Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging,
financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you with us. We have a stellar crew on the broadcast today. I'm very excited. Tony Garitano of Progress and Lending, as you know, is a part of the broadcast each and every week, many weeks anyway. There's sometimes he has to miss us. He has power outages. Can you imagine that? Up there in that part of the country, he has power outages. Anyway, he gets to join us again today, so Tony, it's good to have you with us on the broadcast, and you brought just a few friends with you today.
I did, Dave. Thank you for inviting me back, and I extended the invitation to the entire Progress executive team, and they're all here for you.
Oh, I'm excited about it. I'm excited for our listeners because we did this last year, so we hope to make this an annual event, is find out what's going on in technology and do it every year on the New Year's Eve broadcast. So hopefully just make this a standing appointment for you and your executive team each and every week. So let's get into introductions. Tony, I could go through this, but why don't you run through who we have on the broadcast and their companies, if you could give a brief introduction on your executive team.
Sure. First, we have Kelly Purcell. She's with eSign Systems. She's involved in electronic signing, electronic delivery, and electronic vaulting.
And by the way, can I jump in? Definitely the best-looking one of the group. The rest of the guys just don't come close. Sorry, guys. You just don't come. Kelly's just too cute. All right.
Roger Godoba.
I can see her blushing off in the background there. We can't see her, but she's blushing.
Roger
right.
is with Compliance Systems Incorporated. They're a dynamic document and compliance automation vendor. Michael Hammond, he's with Next Level Advisors. He is a social media, public relations, marketing, business strategies expert.
An all-around great guy.
He's blushing now, too, I'm sure. And finally, Gabe Minton from ServiceLink. As you know, Gabe was instrumental in the development and fostering the development of MISMO through the years, starting in 2000, and his work with the NBA is pretty well known.
Pretty legendary, and Gabe's a good friend and someone I just am so privileged to have known for so many years. Smoked us a few cigars, talked about so many things with he and our old friend David Matthews. But Gabe and the company, also good to have you all with us. Roger, Michael, Kelly, what a treat. So let's get into talking about this. We're talking, Tony, about starting off the new year by finding out what you guys believe is going to happen on that. But let's start by talking about some of the things that are going on at Progress and Lending. Give us an update.
Well, I mean, Progress and Lending is all about furthering the cause of automation as it pertains to advancing business strategies. So at our Engage ceremony, which you participated in, Dave,
yeah.
we launched a new service on behalf of some of our lenders called the Lenders Digital Marketplace. They asked us to link them up with technology vendors that could really solve a given problem. So we created this online environment that's very similar to iTunes, where you can click on your problem just like you can click on an app, and it'll automatically connect you to vendors that can help you solve that problem.
Yeah, it's a great deal. Good.
And the new thing coming next week is the innovations applications, Dave, as you know.
Yeah.
Every year we try to recognize top innovations that happened over the past 12 months. We encourage all of your listeners to apply. at progressinlending.com. Applications are free. We hope that by recognizing innovation, we will be a part of fostering future innovation. So
now,
that's what's going on for Progress.
That's good stuff. Tony, let's talk about, you've been covering mortgage technology for some time now, and I'm interested to really get to know your perspective and how you would define true industry innovation and what the technology innovation you think we can will see in 2013. What's your thoughts? Show us your crystal ball, my friend.
Well, I think a lot of people falsely think that innovation means something totally new. For me, I think innovation is about adopting existing technology and doing something new with it. So I think that the regulatory environment and some new news announcements, especially as it pertains to the IRS, which we'll talk about a little bit later on, I think that 2013 is going to be a good year for technology and for innovation. I think lenders are going to be forced to adopt technology, and they're going to put their own spin on it. And so we're going to see a lot of process improvement and a lot of automation going on in 2013. And I think that it'll be a building block, and hopefully we'll see even more innovation in 2014 and 2015.
Well, that is good. So I know you've got some guests. Let's get them on and start getting some perspective from them. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's talk to Roger for just 1 second. So let's talk a little bit about the mortgage process, Roger. How can lenders embrace technology to improve their individual processes?
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate the opportunity here. You know, for a long time, lenders have just been almost like Congress. They kind of kick the can down the road. They just got to do a little patch here or there, and then they go on. And I think 2013, you're going to see them make some serious investments in technology. Because they need to be much more nimble and proactive because of all the changes in the industry that are going on. They need to have both a short-term and a long-term plan. A short-term being, what are we going to do in 2013? What is something that we have to do, whether it may be e-disclosures, e-signing disclosures, or something a little more robust? But the long-term plan is, how can I become a completely digital world? Right now, there's a lot of legacy systems out there, and they're going to have trouble adapting to what I consider a mobile world, and the fact that people are going to be multiple access to their system. So it's not just somebody walking in and filling out an application. You got people doing it on smartphones, iPads. You know, so all of it is really going to be challenging to them. And then when you look at that, that increases their complexity. And then they have to start thinking about the security of their system. How do they stay in compliance? How do they prevent fraud? And I think one of the things that you're going to see, and I've already seen it in some respects, is there's no more silos of information. You're going to see much more of integrated systems and common platforms. One of the challenges in the refi world and the HAMP and all that was that the servicing side didn't really connect to the origination side, and so there was some problems there. In fact, Mortgage Builder Software is building an integration between their servicing and their origination side.
Yeah.
And then finally, I think you're going to see a lot of the banks start doing what I would call a common platform where you have mortgage, consumer, commercial all on around a single database so that they can control it and eliminate duplication of effort.
I think that's, and
so
that's I got,
that's what
I got
see
a nice.
Going.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So that's what I see going on in 2013.
I think what Mortgage Builder is doing, building that interface, is good. I got a nice email from Kelly Himbaugh. Earlier, a mortgage builder talked about some of the things that they're doing. So, yeah, let's turn to Kelly, because not only is she the best-looking one in the group, but she is also dealing with one of my favorite topics, and that's e-signatures. And, Kelly, there's been some significant news regarding the IRS has opened the door on electronic signatures on the 4506, and I think that starts January 7th. You've been passionate about this, so tell us why. This will impact the impact of the IRS accepting e-signatures and what that could have on the entire industry, Kelly.
Thank you, David. Yes, I have never seen such a flurry over e-signatures in, you know, the 13 years that we've been doing this. So as you know, there's been an initiative for about 2.5 years, and earlier this year the IRS said that, yes, they would be coming out with, you know, guidelines, and everyone was positively, you know, hesitant. And so they surprised everyone on November 7th and issued the guidelines and said, hey, January 7th, we are open for business. So what this is doing is really two things. There's lenders right now that are already doing e-disclosures, and then they have the one-off process of, you know, papering out that 4506. So for those lenders that are already doing some e, this is just going to make that entire origination process much cleaner and simpler, and so it's going to increase adoption from that lender's perspective. Then there's the lenders out there who said, hey, you know what, I'm not going to have two processes. Once that 4506 can be electronically signed, I will move to electronic disclosures. So we've really got, you know, two viewpoints, and either viewpoint, it will increase the adoption on the origination side. But even the bigger impact of that, David, is that it's going to get everyone focused on that origination process. They see how well it's working, and that will help the ultimate adoption of the e-note and the e-closing once the origination process truly is electronic. So it does great things for the industry, and the industry is extremely excited.
Yeah, it's encouraging to finally see this. Do you think we're at the tipping point in that, Kelly? Is that what you characterize that as, tipping point? It's actually happening. It's going to start. We're going to see a land rush or massive movement towards this.
Yes, you'll see it. People are going to be implementing, getting their processes in place, you know, in Q1. But I anticipate that by Q2, we will see a pretty major adoption of the 4506T and the 4506EZ form being e-signed. So this isn't one of those things that, you know, something goes into effect and it's going to take 3 years to implement. Technology is already out there. It's just a matter of, you know, making sure you've got your audit process in control and such. So this is going to be recognized, you know, extremely early on, and not something that's going to drag out.
What about FHA and their acceptance?
Oh, great question. So, you know, FHA accepts e-signatures on third-party documents, you know, such as purchase contracts. They're getting an extreme amount of pressure right now, not only from the MBA, but from other groups. And so I would anticipate that maybe even as early as April of this year, we're going to see some kind of formal comment from FHA on their acceptance of e-signatures. So,
good news.
Yeah. So it's going to be exciting.
That's good. Tony?
And that's a significant news item, Kelly. I mean, have you been working with FHA personally, and can you tell us, you know, what the process is at FHA so far?
Sure. So I'm on the FHA committee, and I can say that there's been a lot of, you know, dialogue between the MBA and FHA. The IRS really, with their acceptance of e-signatures, was kind of the last straw, so to speak. And so FHA is really the holdout, you know, within the industry of accepting e-signatures. So that is causing tremendous pressure. They've assigned a new person over at FHA that is the liaison and really is responsible for this. And, you know, they had leadership, you know, change and such, you know, over the last year and a half. So that's kind of, the dust is kind of settled, and they're back on it full force. So I'm extremely, you know, positive about what they're doing over there. And I think we might see something as soon as April.
Well, if we're talking about game-changing technologies for a second, let's put e-signatures aside. You know, we also have to talk a little bit about mobile technology. We've seen
my favorite.
A lot of vendors have come out with mobile technology in 2012. So if we bring Michael into the conversation, has mobile become a business imperative for today's financial service companies,
yeah,
Michael?
And isn't his nickname Mobile Michael?
I don't know if that's the nickname or not, but I would definitely say that, you know, is mobile becoming an imperative? Absolutely. And I think what's important to realize is that there's a major paradigm shift taking place. Historically, whether it's lenders, servicers, vendors, they've all been very loan-centric in the systems that they develop and their approach to dealing with potential borrower or the account that they're servicing. if they want to compete in today's market, that shift has to take from a loan-centric to being much more customer-centric. And mobile is a great tool to really enhance that relationship, because as the battle for the borrower rages on, people are looking at who owns the relationship and what are some of the best tools and methodologies that they can use to communicate throughout the entire process and really engage that relationship instead of just focusing on that one specific loan.
I think it's I nickname you Mobile Michael because you are one of the guys that's probably the most knowledgeable on that out there. Or at least you're tracky, and there's a lot of strategies that you've employed, Michael, on this. So I want to definitely come back to that, this the whole mobile topic when we get a little bit later in the broadcast. So we will be back to that if you don't mind. I want to get over to Gabe and talk a little bit about compliance, one of our favorite topics here on the broadcast. And we've talked about compliance, and there's obviously a lot of discussion going on about what looks to be a big year for mortgage regulation, Gabe. I mean, with CFPB going, many are interpreting the reelection of Obama as an endorsement, go get those mortgage bankers, and CFPB is the sick'em dog that's going after them. So, Gabe, if you could tell us what should lenders do to be focusing on as in relates to dealing with this regulatory risk in terms of technology and how they can meet this challenge.
Yeah, definitely, Dave. First of all, thank you very much for having us and having me, and thank you, Tony, for inviting the members of your board to participate again. And I love the idea of an ongoing tradition with this. It's always great to be able to participate in these types of activities. It's been a big – go ahead.
I said, consider it done. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's definitely been a huge year for the CFPB. I've been in to brief them a couple of times, and it's been a big year of learning while we've been going through the presidential reelection. But now going into next year, I think all signs are pointing to what are they going to do with these over 100 rulemakings that they've greatly accelerated, some of them more important than others, like the qualified mortgage, loan officer compensation. There are many others that are being focused on. We're obviously at ServiceLink very focused on the settlement statement, new uniform settlement statement, and what activities going around there. But I think that there are a couple of common threads that I want to point out that I think are good for us to think about going into next year with the CFPB and all of these increasing regulation and requirements. Number one, open and transparent communication. They are all about this. They are very interested in any standards, not just NISMO, but any other standards that they can use to facilitate open and transparent communication about what it is that you're doing as a lender or as a servicer. Second, definitely with that standards focus, there's a focus on data integrity. So, you know, not only do you have open and transparent communication, but the information that you're communicating is clear, concise, and correct. And number three, and Roger mentioned this, as did Michael, and David, you've mentioned it, you know, countless times. I think that the CFPB is really focused on customer service. They're about the consumer. And so not only with mobile and the different leading edge technologies can we embrace this, but I think that lenders and servicers, you've heard of SPOC, single point of contact. There's been a lot of discussion about enhancing the consumer's participation in this. They get confused. They get frustrated. What can we do and what can we use from a technology standpoint to be able to embrace the consumer? So in the end, and sort of as a final comment, I believe lenders are going to have to develop measurable operational controls that illustrate that they have control over the processes that they are stewards for and that those processes are focused around the consumer.
We were talking about SPOC, single point of contact, last broadcast with Bill Coppedge. I have one question before we toss the mic back to Tony and move it on to Roger again. But, Gabe, what do you make of Bill's report this morning in the news? He's not reporting, but he's just passing on the report that vendors stand now in the line of a litigated risk. How do you think this is going to impact guys like you that are out there and many of the vendors, I mean, all the rest of the guests on the phone? I mean, what's any insights? Is this worrisome? Or it's worrisome, but
It's definitely, I mean, I don't want to, you know, say worrisome, but it's definitely an area of concern. I mean, vendors, including us, anybody else, we need to be able to help facilitate what we were just talking about with that open and transparent communication. So if you're making an underwriting decision on behalf of a lender, then you need to be able to illustrate what was the data at the time the decision was made, what was the decision made, who made the decision. All of this has to be in an open, auditable format. So I think that this is a boon for rules-based technologies and other technologies like that that really move workflows to exception-based workflows. And that, and another surge is going to happen in reporting and dashboarding. We've talked about business intelligence before. That's about being able to forecast what's going to happen if the business keeps operating this way. I think that there's going to be a lot of development technologically next year around that because of that increasing need, with vendors included, to be able to be open and transparent about how they communicate. Of course, you know, the servicers have already had the consent orders that have gone through, and a large component of those consent orders was the same thing, open, transparent communication about what was going on, what was the information used to make a decision, what decision was made, was it the right decision?
Do you feel when you – one last thing. I keep saying one more thing. When you went in to meet with CFPB, how would you characterize the audience in just a few words?
Just a few words. Very hungry to learn anything and everything about the mortgage space and any other industry. You know, so there's just real thirst for what's going on, and a real openness, you know, for a government agency. I think that they're one of the most open group of people, you know, in terms of thinking outside the box and wanting other people's opinions, and is not high up in a tower, you know, kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I want to apologize for my attack dog comment about CFPB, but many are saying, feeling that. And when you hear the news that, you know, they're going, putting us in the vendors in the middle of the bullseye a little bit more, so moving us in the limelight, makes me nervous about that. So that's where the base of that comment is. We have CFPB to listen to this, so they know how I feel about them. We love them, and we love the people involved, and we understand the process they're in. Let's get Tony back to you. I know you've got some other things we want to move on to. Thanks, Gabe.
I wanted to bring Roger into the regulatory conversation. Roger, in your opinion, why is all of this proposed regulatory changes that we have seen and that we will see, why is it all so critical to the financial industry, and how can technology really help lenders out?
Well, I think, thanks, and I think what you're going to realize is that because of all the problems we've had in the industry, and I'm not going to sit here and pick sides or anything like that, but all of a sudden everybody says, hey, we got to really get these people under control because it's out of control. I agree with Gabe. We've had meetings with the CFPB as well. They are extremely open, and they're willing to listen. In fact, I think they took a lot of input from the industry as they've been working through some of these changes. But when you really look at the lenders are facing, I mean, the fear of the unknown is what's really killing them. The number of potential changes that could happen, you know, like they mentioned, Dodd-Frank, 2,400 pages, the 250-some rules already, over 100 are dedicated towards mortgage, and 36 of those the MBA deemed critically important. So there's a lot of angst in the industry about what's really happening there. But, you know, you have to take a step back, and the consumer has some ownership in all of this too. I mean, a lot of this started bubbling up around payment option arms. And personally, that was not a bad program. It was just marketed bad. But the consumers have to take some ownership, that, you know, for them to say that they could buy a $700,000 house and they're making $6,000 a year, you know, to be extreme, that's just not realistic. And so I think you're going to see what they're really trying to do, like Gabe had mentioned, is just try to make this much more open and transparent. So the lenders really need to do a lot more consumer education on this and have more like financial advisors rather than loan officers. I want to take a step back and talk about, you know, what Joe had said about new home sales. And I can tell you that down in Florida here, it is really kicking up. The home sales are up. The building is up. Building permits are up. And it's really starting to rocket back up, which partly could be a little scary. But, you know, I really see this overall coming back. In fact, I've heard realtors say they don't have enough really good inventory here to,
wow,
to give the borrowers a lot of selection or potential borrowers. As far as the CFPB trying to kill this warehouse lending and everything, you know, to me it's just really kind of making sure that everybody has skin in the game and takes some responsibility for that. It's not any different than a builder having 27 subcontractors. He's really responsible for what those subcontractors are. So I think what's going to happen is the lenders are going to be a lot more careful about who they partner with. And I think that they're also going to probably try to pull more stuff in-house so that they do have that control.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. That worries me because of the size of their balance sheets, Roger, is the reason I get worried about it. We support so many lawsuits, so we have probably a little bit of a jaded approach to it. Tony, keep on going there. Sorry, I just want to interject why we're nervous about that statement.
If we could take a second, I mean, I thought let's kind of switch gears and talk about something a little bit more fun and uplifting. What about social media? Let's go back to Michael and, you know, have financial services companies embrace social media to drive demand? Are they using it? What are they doing with social media? What should they be doing in 2013 with social media?
Tony, I think right now, you know, are they using social media? I'd say they're in the phase of 2012 was a lot of dabbling. Not quite sure how they would incorporate social media, how they could best utilize it. But as I mentioned earlier, with the shift being from loan-centric to customer-centric, social media can be a very powerful tool that can help engage and enhance those relationships with the borrowers. I think what you're going to see a lot more this year is not only will lenders start embracing how to use Facebook and how to capitalize on Twitter, and are they going to set up a Pinterest account, but I think the burden is going to be on the vendors to start developing applications, exposing some different APIs and creating hooks so that those lenders can really engage with the borrower and have that within their systems of record, whether it's their core servicing systems, whether it's their loan origination systems. I think that's going to be absolutely critical for social to take off in 2013.
And do you think lenders are hesitant to do it, Michael? I mean, I know initially they were a little bit concerned about just sending a tweet out to everyone and their brother. I mean, do they get the business value of it in 2013, or is that there's still some education that has to go on?
I think there still has to be education. There's still a lot of confusion, a lot of misunderstanding. I talked to not only just a lot of lenders, but also a lot of vendors, and there's still a number of vendors that are very skeptical with why would I use social, how is that going to help my business. It's one of the most pervasive communication tools that we're seeing sweeping changes out there with mobile and with the combination of social. So I think the progressive lenders, the lenders that are really embracing these social networks, are engaging the lender and really developing those relationships that is going to have a significant impact in years to come.
I had a quick question. Can I jump in with a quick question on that? Do you see the MAPS regulation where they have to keep track of everything that they quote on rates impacting people getting involved in with social media, or is that going to inhibit that, I guess is the question?
A good question, Dave. Could it inhibit it? Yes, and I think more the way it will inhibit it is people will use that as a crutch. We can't use social media because of MAP. No, you got to be careful with what you're quoting from a rate perspective. But if you truly want to enhance the relationship with borrowers, with potential borrowers, with the lenders or the borrowers that you're servicing their loan, there's a number of ways and strategies that you can engage them through social media without ever quoting a rate, but developing that relationship so that they stick with you and will do business with you.
All right, good. Good point. Go ahead. Someone else is jumping in there.
No, I wanted to turn it back to Gabe and talk a little bit about the servicing side of the mortgage industry. What do you think will be the big technology areas or initiatives that affect servicing in 2013, Gabe?
You know, I think that the big word to sum up what I think is going on, you know, we've talked about it a little bit with Spock and, you know, the overarching things going into the increased regulatory environment. But I think convergence is what I see. Certainly what we're doing with our fusion initiative inside of ServiceLink is we're integrating siloed business lines. You know, as you know, originations is pretty cookie cutter, if you will. It's pretty well understood. There are different channels. There are different products, not very many different products right now. But if you compare the whole servicing side, if you include the default side of it, it gets very, very complicated. And you have pre-foreclosure, loss mitigation, loan modification, bankruptcy, foreclosure, claims, investor billing, REO, HOAs to make sure that the fees are paid, and properties to maintain. And you have any of 50 different parties to the transaction by the time you get through all the way through an REO claim when you do a transfer of a property that's foreclosed on. And you have long timelines, 900 days, I've heard, in the state of Florida, for instance, on average. So I think that convergence, along with the things that we've all been talking about during this broadcast, you know, you have an increased mobile, you have an increased open and transparent communication. MISMO's focus this January meeting is going to be on servicing. And so that's about transmitting the data correctly. But there's also going to be that never-ending focus on the consumer. So single point of contact is only one example, but the regulators and everyone are going to be watching that, you know, that lenders and servicers are helping consumers understand what is happening, understand what their options are, educating them, like Roger said, so that they know how to make best, you know, the best well-informed decisions that they can. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity, we believe, in the servicing industry as a result.
If we go back to Kelly briefly, what do you think about online lending, Kelly? I mean, are more borrowers shopping online for mortgages and financial products? Is there more that we could be doing online?
That's a great question. So really there's a confluence of several factors right now that are driving that. Obviously, the demographics, you know, as the younger generations are buying financial products, you know, they're not physically walking into any kind of, you know, bank or brokerage house, et cetera. Going back to what has been discussed today, mobile is a driving factor for online purchases. The use of social media clearly is another driver of online purchases. And, you know, some people think of purchases as, you know, buying shoes or something, but, you know, financial products are being purchased and instigated, you know, online. So a confluence of all of those factors and just the overall, you know, internet use. And really that's validated by, you know, several of the major, you know, research companies today are going back to now. You know, we always see this because a lot of these reports aren't going to be coming out till April, May, June time frame. But we're involved in many of the research that is being done right now by the major companies. It's all about e-signatures, online purchasing. So we're seeing that interest being, you know, driven by these major research houses. They only, you know, commission these reports because they're getting requests from their customers. So all of that put together, yes, there's truly, you know, the online presence is driving much of this.
And Roger, we've talked on this past radio broadcast a lot about data and data integrity. There's been a big focus in the industry around data. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, as Gabe will tell you, him and I couldn't be happier that we're finally recognizing it's all about the data. You know, it's true. You know, it's only taken 10 years for MISMO and all of that to really make some progress. But, you know, a lot of it is the data is very definable. And so, you know, the MISMO data dictionary really helped saying here's a data point, here's what it's really mean, and here's how it's used. So that everyone's talking that common language. And it's measurable and comparable. You know, I mean, you could do something with it. And when you really think about it, data is what really drives the process, not the documents. We've been such a document-centric industry for the longest time that everything's revolved around either the loan application or the HUD settlement statement. And now they're finally starting to understand that it's really the information is the key. And so I think you're going to see a lot of changes. You know, obviously there's already a lot of changes, but the industry is accepting some of the stuff from MISMO, the ULDD from Fannie and Freddie on loan delivery and the appraisal work that's been done. And so when you really think about what you're doing here, it's you're just using tools to make your process better. And I just remember someone told me a long time ago, you know, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
So it's so true.
So you really have to say, you know, I got tools. Let's make good use of them. And I think that's where it's all going to be happening. And it's going to be around the data.
Yeah, Tony, you asked, we had on one of your broadcasts we had you on, we were asking about, does the regulation, does all the focusing on staying compliant, keeping system current, you know, squish or disinhibit development? And what I'm hearing you say, Roger, is no, is that's not the case?
No, that is definitely not the case. I really think that if they take a clear look at what technology and having standard data processes will do for them, they're going to be way ahead in the long run.
Yeah, I think we've been debating this one for some time, but one of the thoughts, I'm encouraged by what you're saying, Roger. The question I have is there's only so much dollars that can go towards development, and if all the dollars is going towards keeping systems compliant, is that a realistic goal? And I'm not challenging your assertion there. It's just really lenders are asking themselves that.
When you really think about it, the reason that they're spending all of this is because they didn't really do their homework 20 years ago and 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's
okay,
good point, I
wrote an article sometime back that I found in Mortgage Banking Magazine from 1991 that says paperless mortgage.
Oh, my gosh. Did Kelly write it?
I don't remember who wrote it, but I look at the mortgage industry a lot like the automotive industry. For the longest time, the automotive industry just said, hey, we'll do whatever we have to, and we'll make cars, and the customers will take them, and so on. And all of a sudden, it got to the point that the customer said, well, I'm not buying these cars anymore. You know, I mean, they're junk, and they're this or that. And so they had to spend a lot of money improving their process and improving their assembly lines, and look at the quality that we're getting out now.
Well, I'm looking at the last question here and looking at the clock. We've got 4 minutes left. The last question to all of you, and I want your group to go around and share this with you, and starting with Tony. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about 2013 from a technology standpoint? And I have one question after that, so quick answers all the way around, starting with you, Tony.
I'm very optimistic. I know I'm going to steal Kelly's thunder, but I think that e-signatures will be a big theme in 2013, and I think that's going to lead to a lot more automation all around.
Kelly?
Optimistic. Compliance is greatly improved with audit trails and the electronic process versus the paper process. And I'm going to sprinkle it with a little concern over the lender-vendor liability, but I think contractually that can be worked out. So overall, I'm optimistic.
Yeah, it can either create, you know, you look at something that some might take as a negative, it actually can create some differentiating opportunities for you, for those that have it. Gabe, your thoughts?
Eternally optimistic, Dave. For as long as I've known you and for as long as I've been in this industry, there has been an always driving need for innovation and technology implementation. And so I consider that we all have on this call very good job security, and we're going to keep it going into next year. I agree with Kelly and you that, you know, we need to be careful with the regulatory environment, watch it very closely, and watch the lender-vendor relationship, but there's always opportunity to implement and innovate new technologies in mortgage.
Roger, real quick.
Extremely optimistic.
Wow.
And I think you're going to see a lot of new things. I think you're going to see a lot of new things surprise you this year. Like, we had an innovation award winner last year that developed a new method for tracking homeowner association fees, which was a big problem, and it was a fantastic solution, and it was not that difficult for them to do. So I think you're going to see more and more innovation this year.
Well, coming from optimistic Florida, I like that. Michael, we're wrapping up the optimism, pessimistic. Your thoughts?
I would say optimistic, absolutely. I think what we saw in 2012 was there was a lot of innovation that was spurned by these new compliance and regulatory environment. And as people continue to shift and transition from loan-centric to customer-centric, there's going to be even more innovation. So I would be very optimistic. We're going to respond to the market challenges and keep moving forward.
I'm ready for a New Year's Eve party after all this optimism. I'm glad to hear it. I'm an optimistic guy. Glass half full. Always been that. Boy, I tell a lot of things challenging. Okay, doing a quick look back, or let's start the same order, go all the way around the horn and say, what's the most significant technology development as we look back? Roger, you just mentioned one of them. So, Tony?
the most significant technology development of 2012, Dave?
Yes.
I would say ULDD. And,
ULDD.
Yep.
All right, Kelly?
And how the industry is responding.
I would say e-delivery for those that weren't doing e-signatures.
Yeah. Gabe?
You know what? I think that the industry really embraced and put actual LOSs. A couple of them went into mobile. So they really, I consider it, you know, a real embracing of mobile technology.
Michael?
I would second the mobile technology and a number of the initiatives that were sprung from compliance and responding to compliance, ULDD. That really signifies why I have such optimism for the new year, is because of what was accomplished in 2012 by responding to market conditions.
Roger?
You know, I had mentioned the one that we got in the innovations last year, and I can't wait to see the applications start coming in this year, because none of us had heard of that company before. So
That's cool.
Really, I think, is going to be really interesting next year.
We're out of time. So good to have you all with us. Let's make it a habit. Let's do it again next year. But, of course, we want you on during the week. Folks, have a great week. Remember to tune in. Look at the website for upcoming guests. Thank you so much for making this a part of your mortgage information process.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.